Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Yat'e and welcome to Native Art Voices of the Four Corners. This is your host, Vinaya Yazi, and today we have a special guest by the name of Derek Kosei, who is a photographer in the Farmington community. Yat'e, welcome, Derek.
Yat'e.
So go ahead and introduce yourself to the public. Tell us who you are.
Yat'e, J.A. Derek Kosei, Yinishye, Ashi Nishle, Kiani Bashichin. Hi everyone, my name is Derek. I'm originally from the Bisaya area. I grew up around there all the way up until I graduated high school, and now I reside in Farmington, New Mexico.
Okay, great. So you're a local. You're a local guy.
Yep. Yeah. Been here all my life.
I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that we were able to talk about photography within this community because we have such a wonderful community visually, the flora, the fauna, the nature, you know, it's all around us. And for those of you who have never been to this community, it's called the Four Corners because the four states, New Mexico, Utah, Arizona, Colorado, all sort of meet together here. And you could go travel all those states within a good 4 hours and you're going to see all kinds of environmental settings. How did you start doing photography in the beginning?
I would just use my phone. Cell phones nowadays can like really take good photos. Yeah, I was always into photography, but never really like put much focus on it, I guess. I've always enjoyed art and like visual stuff. I like to draw too on the side, but I haven't drew in a while. When I got more into photography, it was actually on a trip to Denver, Colorado with my sister and her husband. I purchased my first Nikon, which was a DSLR camera with mirror camera. Yeah, during that trip, it was during Memorial Day weekend, actually. Yeah, I just took photos of like around the city and while we were on the drive, like the mountains and stuff. It really caught my attention. Like, well, this is something I never really experienced until that point. So that was actually May of 2019. And yeah, that's my passion for photography, like really grew from there.
That's so cool, you know, because sometimes people intentionally get into photography. You know, they're like, I'm going to be a photographer. And they buy all the equipment, get all the bells and whistles, as they say. But I think the thing is if you visually have that art thinking in your mind, it doesn't really matter what kind of equipment you have because it's your artist's eye that sees a photograph. So you could, just like you said, use your iPhone camera, which is really good cameras too. But it really just depends on how you make the composition, right? And that's really what people see and understand. You know, I know some photographers and they're okay. When I look at your photography, Derek, I really see how, whether you're aware of it or not, I really see how you're telling a story. You are a storyteller visually, especially with your photos on Instagram that you post, the Bistai area, which is, you know, our Navajo landscape. You know, that's our ancestral lands. We have cultural ties to that place and it's really part of our story because that's kind of where I think some of our clan people come from too. I think what's really great that you are a storyteller, and that's how I think of you as a photographer, Derek. I noticed when I went through your website that you have put titles to your photographs, and I like that. I think that's cool because not everybody does that. And some of the highlight titles that stood out I read were Hoodoo City and also Land of the Lost, and those had to do with the Bistai Wilderness. Can you tell us a little bit about why you title your work and why is Bistai such a favorite?
First off, the Bistai area, I grew up out there, not far from like the main wilderness area, which is only like, I don't know, maybe like 10 miles from where we live. My parents still live out there too, so I'll go out there and like visit them, and then I'll go out hiking with my photography, being able to share like with others like what, like the beautiful landscape that's just, you know, pretty much in the backyard. So yeah, I enjoy like being able to capture those different formations and the land, different landscape out there. For my titles, I don't know, it's just something like, when I set up the camera and like get my composition, like, I think this would be pretty good, like kind of plan it out and like think about the lighting, like, you know, the sun will be here or something, and then when I'm taking the photo, then I'll just kind of think of, oh, this title would sound pretty cool, like just how it looks, you know, like with that one you were saying, Hoodoo City, there was just a bunch of hoodoos like all over the whole landscape, so that's what kind of like stuck out to me, was naming it that.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about when we say hoodoo, basically it's one of those sandstone structures.
Yeah, with like a rock. Over time, like the erosion, you know, it the water, or like during the winter, the water gets frozen in there and then it melts. So then it like breaks away the remaining part of the sandstone. So then like the top part, there will be like a heavy rock or something like still on top of the sandstone, so that's what's left.
Yes, it'll still be hanging on, and then eventually as the wind and the nature, the water runs through, like you said, it'll kind of melt away the bottom. So, and then what's left is visually, it's almost like this moonscape or sort of this outer space kind of, might I say, alien looking forms.
Yeah.
So when Derek, when you photograph these, I like the way you do it in such a way where you really understand how light and shadows work. So, you know, you're not just taking of a hoodoo straight on, you're definitely having a to composition the way you want it to look, but then also how you place the camera so the shadows also become as part of that hoodoo on the land. I think it's really spectacular, and I think your work is so quality that you could even make your own like coffee table book or even a travel book, because people come to Bistai from all over the globe who want to see these hoodoos in person and walk in this so-called wilderness. The story that you tell about the land is really important, because a lot of times photographers, I notice, they will see the land as almost candy, like eye candy, and it's just a picture of a mountain. What I see when I look at your photography, Derek, is that you are telling that story of the land.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you captured mountainscapes and you've captured places in the city. I seen the one where you have a picture of LA, the skyline, then with the mountain in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a really quality piece. It's very strong. Again, storytelling, right? I see that photograph. Well, okay, he's showing the LA urban skyline, but then it's making you think about beyond that, like that beautiful, I don't know if it's the San Bernardino Mountains, add a more complex way of photograph. Personally, I think that's the Navajo eye, you know, because in this new generation of Navajos, we really seem to understand how telling story and keeping the stories of our people alive, our Navajo people, whichever region we're from, because, you know, Derek and I are, I guess, from the northern Navajo, eastern Navajo part, but then we also have the western part of Navajo, which is way over there by Flagstaff, Tuba City, Cameron. And the landscape is totally different over there, right?
Yeah.
So it's cool that you're telling a story about Navajo people within this land. And you already kind of talked about, you know, what kind of equipment you use. So I'm thinking that when I'm looking at your photos, does he have like a still camera, like one of those big 5x7s, or you know, those huge cameras, or does he have like a mobile camera, or is it a phone camera? Because like I said, those phone cameras are really nice.
Yeah.
So tell us about the kind of equipment you use.
Right now I'm shooting on a Sony A7IV, which is a mirrorless camera. So there's no mirror inside the camera. That like the mirror cameras, when you snap it, you'll kind of hear like the shutter, and like there's a mirror in there that's what reflects the light into the camera. So a mirrorless camera is more like the newer, updated ones, I guess. They've been around for a while, though. The mirrorless cameras are more kind of the higher end. They do really well in like low lighting and stuff. So that's I enjoy shooting on that one. So I use that, and I have my main lens I use, the 24-70mm lens. It's a G Master lens. That, or I use my telephoto lens, which is Sigma 100-400mm. That's the equipment I have right now.
Probably the important thing about your camera equipment is that it needs to be very mobile and versatile, easy to use.
I'm always out hiking and stuff, so it's really helpful to like try to like take as much like less stuff as I can, like try to focus on, maybe I'll just use just this one lens, like, and try to leave the other ones behind.
So, you know, I went to school for photography at the Institute of American Indian Arts back in the day, in the 90s. You might not have been born yet, I don't know. But I went through the whole process of shooting on film, manual camera, then going into the dark room and processing from film to last print. Have you ever dabbled in that? Or what is what you consider photography digital? How do you work? What is your...
Yeah, I never really dealt with the film side of photography. Other than just growing up, you know, with my parents or my mom would have the little Kodak roll cameras, you know. That's the only, like, close experience having with that. And take those to, like, Walgreens or something and get them developed. For my photos I take now, yeah, it's all digital. I haven't really dabbled with the film, but much respect to, like, people that do that. Like, I see people that do film work and... to be able to, like, develop the film and, like, the chemicals that you use, and then you have to dodge and burn, like, what light you want. Like, yeah, that's pretty remarkable in how they process those.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the old school Ansel Adams process, yeah. Right? Ansel Adams, the nature photographer. Nowadays, you know, I look on Instagram, I look on social media, and I see other photographers and who are native, you know, across our native Indian country. And a lot of them are digital photographers, and, you know, they'll manipulate their photographs with what we used to call back in the day sandwiching negatives.
Oh, yeah.
So in the old days, we had to, like, get, like, two or three negatives and basically sandwich them on top of each other, like pieces of paper, and then we would expose them to light, so it would create this image.
Like a double exposure?
Yeah. So, like, we took a picture of a mountain, and then a picture of a woman, then a picture of, like, a bird on the side. We would sandwich those and make one image. Now, with digital photography and all these different programs, you can add all those things in there. Would you ever think about doing portrait photography? I know that's, like, a whole nother field, and I went through your gallery on your website. I noticed you don't have any images of human beings or animals or bugs, you know, just nature. So is that a reason for that?
I guess for the portrait part, I took some photos of, like, portraits before, but I don't know, it just didn't really grab my interest. Like, I didn't enjoy it as much, you know. I guess just with landscape photography, I'm just out there, like, you know, like, in the wilderness, quiet, and I enjoy, like, being able to just take in that moment too. As far as, like, wildlife and stuff, I want to try do, like, some wildlife pictures. I just need the lens too.
Okay. Yeah, you have to have a different lens.
Yeah, especially the zoom in lens.
Okay.
I think most of the photographers that do, like, photos of, like, birds or, like, buffalo, you know, they have lenses that can zoom up to 600 mm. It's really helpful because, you know, you really want to, like, keep your distance from, like, wildlife.
Oh, and, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and, like, you know, give them their space. You don't want to, like...
be like those tourists in Yellowstone. Yeah. Get your, like, pants ripped off.
Or, like, yeah, trying to get selfies with the bison. Right. Like, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It's put you in a whole other hazardous field.
Yep.
I could see that, Derek. You know, your personality, your way that you walk upon the land, it's almost like this wandering spirit or like this nomad soul, right? You know, if you do become a photographer who, you know, depicts people, that's asking you to come on another level of communication, right? Because you have to interact with the person, you know, and then it becomes a whole nother story. And where plants, landscape, they don't talk back to you.
Yeah.
Or they're not, they're like, wait, let me see my pictures first. Yeah. And let me see if you can post them or not, you know?
I don't like that one. Maybe do another
right?
one.
Right? There's no drama.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty cool, though, because you have to really love your subject matter. And that's your passion, right? Mm-hmm. As an artist, as a visual artist. Like you said, taking pictures of people doesn't bring you that much joy. But when you take pictures of the landscape and the plants, that's like your utmost joyful moment.
Yeah,
I could see that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like any other artist. They have subject matter they go with. Some people only paint still lives. Some people only paint cats or, you know, whatever it is, you know, so they stick to what they like. Yeah, well, that's cool. You know, I understand what you're saying about that. And I notice on some of your photos, too, you have some traveling photos, but the most photographs graphs that you have are you showing us are of this area. And then I seen you had some of like the Puebloan dwellings. There's one that says Doorway to the Past.
Yeah.
Where was that one at?
That one was actually in Chaco Canyon at the Pueblo Benito. I've only been there a few times, but pretty remarkable to be able to go there and like just wonder, like, man, like, can you imagine this place? People everywhere, like, back in, like, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Like, it makes you think like you wanted to try and time traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an amazing place down at Chaco Canyon, you know, and it was a place of the Puebloan people's ancestors, but also the Navajos. You probably know this, Derek, you know, in that whole valley there, the Navajos lived in that valley after the Puebloans, you know, left there.
Yeah.
Because that's where my maternal grandfather was from. He was raised and, you know, he would talk about how, you know, his dad and his brothers and his relatives, they would have the Navajo doings in there. Like, they would have the Ndot down there, and even they would have Yebiche down there, you know, in that mm-hmm. in that valley, because it's so lush and then the water runs through.
Yeah.
So cultural landscape, I think, is very important, especially as a photographer, because it's the landscape we know as Navajos, and it's part of our cultural landscape, and that's history, mm-hmm. you know. So I really think that it's good that you're going to places like that, you know, whether what your intention is, but just being there, you understand the significance.
Mm-hmm.
What I noticed that in your photography that you've shown us, there's not really any photographs of, you know how people always photograph the rock art? They call it rock art?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about that, or is it something you're interested in?
I've only seen a few, actually. The ones I've seen were in Canyon de Chelly. Like, those are the only ones I saw. But yeah, I never really like went out to try to find more. They're kind of hard to get to, I guess, too. So
recently, Derek, I seen you at the Riverfest Fine Arts Festival here in Farmington in Totot, New Mexico, and you had some of your photographs on display. Can you tell us about how you decide to display photos that you might want to sell to the public, and how do you decide to mount them? Because I noticed they're a specialty mount. It's not just a photograph on a piece of paper.
Yeah, I usually like to print my stuff on a metal, and the metal is like a floating frame, so the frame is all on the back, but you can't see. As far as like choosing what photos I want to print, I don't know, I'll just go through my kind of like reflect on, like, I remember this hike was tough, or like just during that day, like what was going on, like before or after the taking the photo, you know. And I'll just, and then when people ask me like, where did you take this, or what was this, hard, was that a hard hike, and I'll just try to tell them like the backstory on like the photo, like, oh yeah, like, yeah, I woke up 2 or 3 in the morning and like left and hiked this far, you know, just little subtle things like that. Like, so I try to like look at my photos and like, this one was pretty tough, so I think people will enjoy this one, you know, or just things that you don't really see too, like, or like stuff that I enjoy, like, take, I really like how this one came out, so I want to see it printed. So yeah, I just kind of vary like, yeah, all the factors that go into it.
As artists, we have our own favorite things that we create, and to us, they're beautiful. Then I was talking to this elder silversmith, and I was asking about his he's a painter, but he would do silver work too, like bracelets and jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him about this one that I purchased from him, and he's like, I know. He goes, people always pick the one that I think is ugly. He goes, but that's the most favorite ones. He goes, the ones I show, they don't like. And we were laughing about that, you know, because sometimes we have to think as artists, what is the beauty of the beholder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the way we see stuff may not be how the public sees it, you know? What are some of the questions, or I guess comments, that people make to you when you show your photography in a public venue, like a marketplace?
I guess most of like my Badlands stuff, a lot of people are like, hey, like, where's this at, or where did you take this from? And I was like, it's kind of hard to explain, like, because there's not really a trail or like a map you can show them, you know. But I don't know, just people have different comments. It's kind of funny, like, you know, there's like the older, like, elders too, they'll joke with me about like some stuff. Oh yeah, I remember growing up here, or, you know, just they'll share their story with me too, so we'll go back and forth what that photo means to me, or where it was taken, you know, just like little details like that too. So
So you mean like a Navajo elder?
Yeah.
Would see your photograph of the Bistai hoodoos, and then they would have a memory about their maybe childhood there? Or,
okay. Yeah, or they'll be like, oh, they'll say, I have some like this by my house too. Yeah, they'll just share little stories with me too, so.
Yeah, and see, that's what I mean, like when your photography of Bistai of the Badlands, or in Navajo, we refer to Bistai area as Dethnazin. Dethnazin, it refers to sort of this, it's not, you can't, like I always say in Navajo, you can't really translate English or Navajo because it's very specific. Mm-hmm. But I've heard that Dethnazin refers almost prehistoric or maybe like a dinosaur creature. Because
mm-hmm.
In my own family story, my grandmother, I think my great grandmother, then her two generations back from her, we had an oral history in our family where they talked about how the Navajos, our ancestors, there was water at Bistai at the time. So that place was filled with water, and that they actually seen a water monster in there, swimming.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they're saying, that, you know, that's where Dethnazin comes from, the word that we speak about, Bistai.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's interesting that, you know, you have these elders saying, oh, yeah, I when I was a child, I remember, you know, this and that. Because, you know, landscape's very important to Navajo people, you know, because especially in this area, you know, we've always migrated. Our summer home, our winter home, you know, our ancestors, you know, they moved from place to place. They would move down here to the river valley to plant crops and gather and trade with other tribes around here, like the Utes and the Apaches, Pueblos. So Tuatha means the water place, and so it really was. So I think, you know, telling the story about Bistai visually is very important for not only our local community, but also the global community, because as artists, what we share in our art, it carries, you know. And that's why I asked you the question about what kind of comments you get about your photographs, because yeah. I would think people come up to you and say, maybe that are non-native or non-Navajo, and say, you know, oh, that looks like the moon. Is that what, did you go to Mars?
Yeah, yeah, I'll get some comments like that, especially with my astro stuff. Okay. Yeah, because I'll take astro photography out in the Badlands too. Yeah, and they're like, whoa, that looks like the moon, or looks like you're on another planet. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh, cool. So I'm glad you brought up that astro, because those photographs are so amazing. I really love when people photograph at night, and I'm always amazed, like, how do they do it? Can you tell us about maybe how do you actually go out at night or early morning, and how long does it take? What's the process? You have to go out in the middle of nowhere. What is that experience?
Yeah. Yeah, it's either late nights or early mornings, depending on where the Milky Way is. Right now, it's kind of getting to the point where it rises about 11:30 at night, to kind of base that on where I'm gonna go. If I'm gonna go to the Badlands, I have to plan out my time, like the drive, what I want to shoot. And then especially with the, thankfully, like technology now, there's an app I use, which is called Photo Pills, and it gives you like an augmented reality of the night sky. So you swipe, move your screen, it'll show the Milky Way rising, like where it's gonna be at this time. So then, like, I'll go out there early, like before the night, maybe, I don't know, like during like golden hour, use that app. Milky Way is gonna be right here at this, so come back here at this time, and that's when there will be, like, if I'm gonna line it up with a formation or something. Yeah, it all depends on.
You definitely have that photographer jargon talk. Like you said, golden hour. And, yeah. You know, and those are things that other artists might not think about. Like you said, you know, the Milky Way, the night sky, you call it astrophotography. So, yeah, you definitely have a specific language that you use as a photographer. And what I really think is cool, Derek, also, is that, you know, you're a Navajo man. And, you know, we do have a lot of male photographers that are Navajo within our community of Navajo Nation.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed a lot of them are portrait photographers, or what they call fashion photographers. So they're constantly taking pictures of young women all made up and wearing people's fashion, which is fine, you know, because it's depicting part of the pop culture that is within Navajo. I noticed there's not a lot of photographers, what I would consider fine art photography, that are doing what you're doing. So I think you really make a good input onto our Navajo Nation, and I'm proud of you, because other people are seeing what a great photographer you are, and they're like, you know, that guy's from the Navajo Nation. He's a Navajo Indian. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's cool that you found your niche in there, and that it's something that you really are thriving in, and we could tell because your photography is amazing, honestly. And, you know, I don't know how your process is, but those vibrant colors are just, gosh. And I love the way that you play with light. Like I said, I noticed that some of your Bistai photos, you'll see where the sun is just tipping the very top of those hoodoos, and they glow like, you know, like an orange or a bright color.
Yeah.
You know, and then also I love your, like your, I guess you call monsoon sky photography.
Oh, yeah.
Where you have all these, you know, dramatic dark clouds in the background. Then you have serene ochre beige colored hoodoos in the foreground.
Yeah.
You know, really, it's really complex. It tells a great story. If you were a painter, you'd probably be a great painter too. You know what I mean? Because I think you have that eye for how composition is in a photograph, and you know, you're gifted. So you mentioned that your Nali Hastin is a Huatlene, right? Your dad's dad, Huatlene?
Yeah.
So yeah, we're related in that way, because I'm Huatlene, my mother's, my grandmother's.
Oh, okay.
So we're related by clan, and they always tell it, the story of the Navajo is that, you know, our clans have specific skills. We were gifted, the beginnings of our time came, and through the Huatlene and the Betatni and the Lokadene, and through the first four clans, which were a part of the Mud clan, Hushkishni, those were the Hushkishni clan group. We were gifted with creativity, artistic ways. So a lot of the Huatlene people and all the people that I named before are really the artists. So they're like the potters, the weavers, the jewelry makers, the poets, and all those.
Oh, okay.
So it makes a difference, you know, when I meet people, I say, what is your clan? Because then I kind of understand, like, okay, they have that creative spirit or way of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I see that in you, Derek.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. So, oh gosh, it was so good to talk to you. I'm really thankful that you were able to come in and, you know, share the process of photography. I haven't had a photographer in the studio to interview. So what you shared is very educational. So now those of us who are listening and are looking at photographers' work wherever we are, we can really understand in a way, like, where's the inspiration and how is the process? And this interview with Derek really tells us about his journey of photography and how he approaches it and lives it. Grateful. Do you have any other things you want to say before we end?
Oh, I'm going to be at the Santa Fe Indian Market this year.
In August.
Yeah. I got accepted, so
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, this will be my first time, so
good.
I'm pretty excited on that. Like, get good. To experience that too. So
yeah, now you're gonna really share it on a global scale. And what is Bistai?
Yeah, where is this at?
Because people come from Japan.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Germany. Oh, wow. Just for Indian market.
Yeah, I've always heard like it's really big, but I've never experienced it.
It's amazing. And you'll get to see other photographers there from other Indian nations, because it's all natives from all over.
Yeah.
Great. I'm so happy for you.
Thanks. Yeah.
Oh, God,
so
look, so good.
Looking forward to that.
Okay.
And hike as much as I can. Continue to create my art. I enjoy it. And I'm just thankful to be able to share it with other people too. Just being, like in the Four Corners area, there's so much to see. And I'm just thankful that I'm be able to photograph the beautiful landscapes around here. I enjoyed this. Thanks for having me too.
Yeah, you're welcome. Real quick before we leave, what is your social media and do you have a website?
I only have Instagram, which is @D_KOSEA_KAPTORES, which is the Kosei Captures, and my website is Kosei Captures.
And that was our interview with Derek Kosei of the Navajo Nation here in the San Juan Valley. Thank you for listening to Native Art Voices, and we will talk to you again. Aguana.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.